Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. I'm racing.
Talk on the Air, the official podcast of SoxTalk.com. With you today is Jason Gage, host of the show. My partner and cohort, Mario Scalise, is busy with work. Therefore, I will be doing a solo edition this week. The edition will be short, it'll hopefully be sweet, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. With Mario back next week at our usual scheduling time on Monday. The White Sox are 33-18, game and a half behind the Detroit Tigers. And the Sox have the third best record in baseball. Sox are coming off an improved week where they took care of business by sweeping the A's and then lost 2 out of 3 to the Toronto Blue Jays. Since then, they have split the series, winning the first game against the Cleveland Indians 11-0 and then losing tonight 4-3 against the Tribe. The White Sox could be doing better, but the Detroit Tigers have lost a couple games in a row here to the New York Yankees and had to place Mike Maroth on the disabled list, which is going to affect their starting rotation, which has been surprisingly good. But the White Sox haven't exactly lost many games as of late. There's one loss that they had, and it was Friday against the Toronto Blue Jays, where the Blue Jays did a good job against Freddy Garcia, got quite a few hits, and beat the White Sox. The other losses the Sox have suffered as of late, there was a Saturday game against the Toronto Blue Jays where the Sox failed to execute. Ozzie Guillen went off. He berated the team, and it was a much-needed berating because the team has failed to execute. It's failed to play defense, and it's really failed to play good baseball. Despite that, we are 33-18. And the other loss, of course, was tonight against Cleveland, another game where the White Sox failed to execute. There was a pickoff play where Chris Witcher threw the ball back to Paul Konerka, who didn't know where the bag was at the time, and it was not an error, but it's a play that usually is made, and instead, very next pitch, ball was planted into the seats to tie the game, and eventually the Tribe ended up scoring 4 runs, making it a 4-3 game, and obviously a Cleveland Indian victory. The Sox are going to have to get down to basics. They're going to have to get back to doing the little things, getting guys over. Ozzie's had been working with them. The coaching staff's obviously been working, guys like Greg Walker. And this offense is very good, and it's hard to really put much blame on them, considering the fact that the offense is statistically amongst the best in baseball. It's fourth in runs in the American League, first in homers, fifth in average, fifth in on-base percentage, third in slugging percentage, and second in OPS. Jim Thome's been a big-time addition to this team. AJ Pierzynski said how much Thome's attitude, the type of poise he has had an effect on the ball club, and it's really been a positive to the Sox offense. The execution part still has to come. They need to improve getting bunts down. There were some failed situations today where they had an opportunity to do so, and they've been failing in the past as well, but they have made some strides. Defensively, they've made strides, but they're still not clicking. But like I say, 33-18, not yet clicking, is a pretty good position to be in, especially when you know the manager's Ozzie Guillen. Right now, the main weakness would be center field, where Brian Anderson was replaced by Rob Mikowiak. After being replaced, Ozzie Guillen has said that Anderson may be finding himself in AAA. Anderson was suspended for 5 games from dealing with the Cubs suspension or the Cubs fight, and has appealed the suspension. But there's a lot of talk that he will be in AAA due to his lack of any one of a semblance on offense. And Anderson is hitting 164 with 4 homers, 11 RBIs, and 2 stolen bases. The only positive to the whole situation is he has been able to draw at least a decent amount of walks with 16, and he plays fantastic defense. And that's what the White Sox are really going to miss if they do send him down. Rob Mikowiak has really picked things up as of late. He's hitting 281 with 2 homers, 9 RBIs, and a 373 on base percentage. He's picked up some clutch hits and has played admirably defensively, but he's not an everyday center fielder. Brian Anderson is exactly that, and the White Sox have to hope he can figure things out, either in AAA or up at the major league level. If Anderson can't figure things out relatively quickly, there are some other possibilities the White Sox could look at. You have guys like Darren Erstad in Anaheim, Mike Cameron in San Diego, and of course Torrey Hunter in Minnesota. The question is, why would the Angels deal Darren Erstad? Well, it's pretty simple on the Angels' part. Erstad's due to make a high salary. He's a free agent at the end of the season, and he's currently on the disabled list with some ankle problems. And there's a lot of questions as to how healthy Erstad would be and whether he'll be able to play anywhere of a decent center field. And the Sox are going to have to be careful. They're going to have to see what Erstad does in this next month when he comes back. He's expected to come back in about 10 days. But he is a veteran. He's played in playoff games, and he could be had without giving up a top prospect. And if the White Sox are going to be giving up top prospects or highly touted prospects, it should be for the bullpen and not center field, because we are not going to lose games because of our center fielder, at least not when it comes to offense. We could lose games because of his defense. Mike Cameron is another fit. He's a former White Sox. We actually traded him for Paul Konerko. He's a tremendous defensive player, but like Erstad, he has suffered from injuries. He's on the Padres, and we would have to see whether he gets healthy. And obviously, the Padres would have to fall out of contention for them to even consider trading Cameron. But Cameron would add some pop and provide very solid defense. The third possibility, Torrey Hunter. It's a big-time long shot. The Twins are 11.5 games out. They are looking like they may not stay in this race, and Torrey Hunter is a free agent at the end of the year. Therefore, he will be traded at the deadline. The New York Yankees want him badly, and they will give up whatever it takes. The problem is they don't have the prospects the Chicago White Sox do have. Now, why would Minnesota make a deal with an interdivision rival? It would simply be because they could get more quality players. And I'm talking about prospects like Josh Fields, you have Sean Tracy, you have guys like Tyler Lumsden. The White Sox have prospects. The New York Yankees don't. The Minnesota Twins would obviously want some top prospects, and I don't know if that price is really worth it for a one-year rental in Torrey Hunter. Darren Erstad and Cameron could be had for mid-level prospects as long as you're willing to take on their salary. They could, if they're healthy, they could provide adequate defense and enough pop at the position, basically to let Brian Anderson get adjusted in AAA, come back up to the majors this year, and just be able to come up to the plate relaxed, because he is he's stressing things. He has no clue with what he's doing at the plate. He's trying to force things and basically trying to get his average up to 300 or 280 in one at-bat, and it's just not possible. There is one outside possibility, and I hate to even mention it because I'm so far against it, but Josh Fields, the third baseman, he's a former first-round draft pick, has been hammering the ball at third base for the Charlotte Knights. And recently, Ken Williams has said that the team has to at least consider moving Josh Fields to left field. Josh Fields has never really played left field. But when you're hitting 329 with 9 homers, 29 RBIs, a 598 slugging percentage, and over 1,000 OPS, things have to be considered. And Josh Fields' long-term status as a prospect is quite high. He's one of the better prospects in baseball, especially from an offensive perspective. And with the strides he's made this year, by season's end, he may be one of the top 10 or 15 offensive prospects in the game. Can he play a good defensive left field? I mean, that remains to be seen. But he has the arm strength. He's a good enough athlete. And with time and obviously defensive plays in AAA, he could make that change. If that happens, Josh Fields could become your everyday left fielder. Does that mean Scott Pesetta could move to center field and basically fill in that role? Personally, I say no, because Scott Pesetta is one of the three worst defensive left fielders behind Garrett Anderson and Manny Ramirez. And of course, we have our own Pablo Azuña, who makes everything an adventure. But Scott Pesetta in center field is a no-no. It's something that I would not want to see. It's something I never will suggest. And quite frankly, it's something Ozzie Guillen would never, ever tolerate, because Ozzie focuses and he knows how important defense is. And when your team is built around pitching, you better be able to catch the ball and get to as many balls as possible. Scott Pesetta won't do that. I am going to take a quick break. And like I said, this is going to be a short show, so I will be back, and I will talk about Cliff Polite, Brandon McCarthy, and what's up ahead for the Chicago White Sox. So, please stick around. back to Sox Talk on the Air. This is Jason Gage. Before I get back into the second part of the show, I want to thank you, the listener, for being here, checking us out week in, week out. We hope you enjoy our podcast. If you ever have any feedback, suggestions, comments, or thoughts, please send them to us at contact@futuresox.com. And remember, this site is brought to you, and this podcast is brought to you by SoxTalk.com. We are built for the fans. You also got to remember to check out TalkBulls.com, TalkBears.com, and TalkBeehawks.com if you are a fan of any other Chicago sports team. All sites are part of the Talk Chicago Sports Network. Now, you've had my advertisements, you've heard the plugs. What else is going on with the White Sox? Cliff Polite. The bullpen has continued to struggle all season long. It's given away games, but it hasn't cost the Sox as much as I thought it would at the beginning of the season. However, one guy in particular, Cliff Polite, has really stuck out. Polite has struggled with his command, he's struggled with his velocity, and, well, quite frankly, the results, they speak for themselves. In 18 innings of work, he's given up 22 hits, 15 runs, 4 long balls, and has a 7 ERA. Opponents are hitting 306 against him. He's got a 1.61 whip. All of these numbers are worse than his career numbers. And obviously, they're a major step away from what he did last season when he went with 7-1 with a 2.01 ERA in 67 and a third innings of work. Those 67 innings were a career high. Did it have an effect on him? It may have. But right now, Cliff Polite is throwing too many sliders and cutters and not enough of his fastball. Because of that, he seems to really have just, basically his arm's tired out. And I don't know whether he's going to get it back or not this season, but the White Sox are going to need him to get it back if we are going to be a very good team and have dominant runs. Because the only way you're going to have dominant runs is if your starting pitching is clicking on all cylinders. We know that's capable. Our offense is clicking on all cylinders. We've seen that happen, and it's been pretty much so for most of the season, despite some occasional executional issues or problems. And your defense, obviously, is going to have to play good. And despite the fact that we have struggled defensively recently, we have an above-average fielding team. So that means the bullpen is the final factor, and the bullpen has to be rolling. It has to be able to keep leads for you. And I'm not saying every guy in the bullpen has to be good, because that's not going to be the case in any bullpen. But you need to have your 7th and 8th inning guys being able to get it to your closer who is saving games. Bobby Jenks has been fantastic this year. The only time he struggled is when he was pretty much overworked in my mind. And aside from that, he's came in 8th innings of games, gotten the job done, and he's been fantastic in the 9th inning of games. So right now, for this bullpen to get going, and for this team to get rolling, it's kind of going to be up to Cliff Polite and Neil Kotz. And if Cliff Polite can't come through, because I do still have faith in Neil Kotz, and Neil Kotz has made strides his last few outings, then the White Sox are going to have to turn to Brandon McCarthy. Brandon McCarthy has not been used enough. And quite frankly, it's been a disappointment, in a sense, because McCarthy had a bad spring, and you could tell that he wasn't quite used to pitching out of the pen. But he ended up starting the season and did a really good job early on, pitching a great game against Cleveland. And the first 2 weeks of the season, he was doing fantastic. Since then, he's had some struggles. He has a 4.82 ERA, and he's given up 29 hits in 28 innings while striking out 16. His strikeout numbers are a little bit lower than what he did last season. But the big thing with him is you can just tell that he isn't clicked. And he's given up 3 home runs. He's walked 8 guys. So his control hasn't been bad, but it's not where it usually is. He hasn't been crisp. His curveball has been better than it was last year. His changeup has been good, but the command hasn't been there. And his fastball has been about the same. Good, but no command. Brandon McCarthy needs to get innings. The White Sox seem to be hesitant of getting him innings. And as of late, he's pitching a few more games. Pitching May 28th and May 27th on back-to-back nights. And he gave up a run in the first outing, but in the second outing, he was very good. Going 2 innings, didn't give up a hit. And the White Sox need to see more of that. And if we're going to do that, Ozzie Guillen's going to have to put faith in Brandon McCarthy. He's going to have to let him pitch, let him get his work in, because we need him to replace Cliff Polite as our right-handed man in the 8th inning. Speaking of replacing guys, it looks like Boone Logan is never going to be back in Chicago. I may have been wrong a week ago when I said he may be able to make it back. And this, of course, could be totally premature of me, but Boone Logan had a horrid outing his first time back in Charlotte, or his first appearance in Charlotte, where he again struggled with his defense and had mental errors. The White Sox replaced him with the veteran Jeff Nelson. Nelson has been solid with the Sox. He's pitched in four games already, given up two hits and a run, walk three, strike out two, and he showed that he has the good off-speed stuff. However, he did give up a loss. He did pick up a loss when he gave up a game-winning home run to the Blue Jays. And the White Sox are going to have to be very careful and make sure he really has what it takes. And right now, Ken Williams is probably scouring the phones trying to find a reliever. Who knows who's going to be available? But Ken Williams is going to have to get at least one reliever. And that's even if Jeff Nelson figures things out. Even if Cliff Polite figures things out. Even if Neil Kotz gets back to his old ways. We're going to need some depth in that bullpen. And Ken Williams is going to have to go find it. The Sox have played solid lately, despite their record. Or actually, they've basically played mediocre, but they're still winning more than they lose. They have two more games against Cleveland. Both games are what I would deem winnable games. The White Sox will have Jose Contreras on the mound in the finale against Paul Beard, which is an indefinite advantage to the Chicago White Sox. And tomorrow's game will have Freddy Garcia, who's coming off a poor start against the Blue Jays, against Jake Westbrook, a pitcher the White Sox have had pretty good luck against. Following those two games, and these are two big interdivisional games because we have a chance to put Cleveland 11.5 back if we can take two straight games. And that would be a really nice thing to do considering how much of a push they gave us last year. And right now the White Sox need to be focused on Detroit, who is a very good ball club. Following that Cleveland series, the White Sox will be playing another first place, will be playing a first place team, the first place Texas Rangers. It'll be a home game for the White Sox. We come back to the friendly confines of U.S. Cellular. And the Rangers are 28-24 in the first place of a poor AL West division. A division that many expected the American or Anaheim Angels of Anaheim or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim to win. But that doesn't appear to be the case, considering the fact that the Angels have as bad of an offense as anyone in baseball. And other analysts expected the Oakland A's, who made quite a few changes, including the addition of Frank Thomas, who had quite the debut, but the A's have yet to take off, although they will be getting Rich Harden back. The Angels are expecting to get Bartolo Colon back, but there's still some issues there of whether Colon will ever be 100% again, especially this year. In Texas, all this time, they got a great offense. They picked up Kevin Millwood in the offseason, so their pitching is a little bit better, but if they're going to make it and they're going to hold on, they will have to find an arm. Texas has never been afraid to spend money. They made efforts to go get Roger Clemens, but it appears Clemens will go to Houston. So Texas is going to have to find a way to trade for someone or have some guy magically develop so they can improve that pitching staff and maybe take off with that division. And Texas usually plays the White Sox well, so that's going to be a very tough, very interesting series. And on Monday, I'll be back with Mario. It'll be a much more interactive show. We'll be previewing the MLB draft, which starts on Tuesday and goes on to Wednesday. The White Sox will have a later round pick, or they'll be picking every round. I think they picked 29th overall. They could get someone pretty good. There's going to be some sleepers. This is a very strong collegiate draft, especially in terms of pitching. And in general, it is a pitching-heavy draft. And the first round should have at least 20 pitchers taken, and maybe as many as 23 or 24 pitchers taken. And the White Sox will have a shot at getting another quality arm. Or if they want to, a positional player. A guy like Tyler Colvin out of Clemson, who's a very good hitter, good all-around player, but lacks the power that a lot of scouts desire, especially out of first-round picks. And the White Sox have, as of late, had some success. They've drafted Josh Fields in the first round, Brian Anderson in the first round, and Lance Broadway in the first round. And all three of those guys appear to be on the right track. So make sure you check back with us for that. And check out Mario's show. I will actually be a guest host on the show, which will go live tomorrow. It is available at www.360thepitch.com. And remember, check out our new front page on SoxTalk.com. We have a lot of news. We're updating it every day following the games. We have series previews now. We have the central standings up. We were pretty much becoming a one-stop shop for all things Chicago White Sox. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about your first place Chicago White Sox, because I'm getting sick and tired of us being in second place. We are a better team than the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers are a very good ball club. However, the White Sox just need to start catching the ball and just doing their fundamentals. And we are a very good fundamental team, so it's going to come back. This team will figure out the basics, and when they do, they will go on a pretty long run of good baseball where they should overcome and build a comfortable lead in the AL Central. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to us, and hope you enjoy the show.